You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
So, Southern Cross is back on air today. In studio with me, we have AUT Pacific Media Centre Director Professor David Robbie and Pacific Media Watch Freedom Project Contributing Editor Jean Bell. How are we doing today?
Yeah, it's great.
Exciting stuff. So, to start off with, we'll start with you, David. Why the fuss about West Papua and the failure of visiting Indonesian President Joko Widodo to front up to the media whilst in New Zealand last week?
Well, he was only here for a couple of days or so, and this is the biggest issue facing the Pacific. Countries like Melanesian countries such as Vanuatu, Solomon Islands and so on have been pressing the issue very, very strongly in the region, and they look to Australia and New Zealand as sort of dragging the chain somewhat. So President Widodo basically got off very lightly in not having a press conference. It's a convention in diplomatic circles for the leaders of both countries to front up to the media afterwards, but it's not difficult to guess why that press conference never took place.
Also, do you think maybe his visit was overshadowed by Obama coming around playing some golf?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, why so much like wall-to-wall treatment in the media for an ex-president, largest major country in the world sort of thing, but playing golf and really just a former president for the rich, you might say. Whereas President Widodo is president of the largest economy and most important country in the ASEAN group of countries, so our future is very much tied up with Indonesia.
And now to Jean, you're the new Pacific Media Watch editor for the year. Among the stories that PMW has been covering through its media partners is the wave of protests sweeping Indonesia after a new law came into force earlier this month that criminalises criticism of lawmakers. What's the background to this?
Well, basically, the law says that Parliament's Ethics Council can take legal action against individuals or groups or legal entities that disrespect the dignity of lawmakers and Parliament as an institution. So this also means that police can forcibly summon individuals for questioning. Now, legislators say the law would protect them from false allegation of corruption or other criticism, and it also follows a string of other similar laws in the Southeast Asia region, such as Thailand and Cambodia, which makes a criminal of anyone who criticises monarchs and legislators. So President Joko Widodo has come up under fire for not making a decisive action against the law. He has been criticised for his hands-off approach and not realising what the law would mean for citizens. Now, he delayed signing the draft law that would allow Parliament to crack down on criticism aimed at the government, and he said on Twitter that he understands the public concern about this issue and that we all want the quality of our democracy to improve, not deteriorate. Now, Widodo didn't actually sign the law and has told reporters he'd back a judicial review of the law, but from here he can't really do much, as once a law is passed by Parliament, he does not have the power to veto, so without a signature, it automatically goes into effect after 30 days.
Right, so, I mean, what do you reckon is going to happen? Is it going to get worse?
Well, possibly. There's been a big backlash against the new law that's been passed through, and there's a petition going around that's gathered over 215,000 signatures already, and a lot of human rights groups have come forth and says that it's a disaster for Indonesian citizens because anyone who criticises Parliament will have to prepare for a prison sentence.
Do you think we might see violence erupting because of this?
Possibly. I'm not sure, really, but hopefully there's it comes to an end soon.
Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned. And in Tonga, the Minister of Education, Penisi Mani Fifitia, has banned girls from boxing or playing rugby, and this action has caused a storm. What's happening here, Jen?
Yeah, well, the comments came after a controversial letter from the Ministry of Education and Training. A letter was leaked to news media and it sparked an outrage that polarised news media as far away as New Zealand and the Australia. So in the letter, an education authority told the principal of Tonga High School, a government-sponsored institute, that a decision had been made by the director of education to ban its girls from participating in rugby and boxing. So the reason that it is, well, the letter said that the reason that it is against our culture to keep women dignified so it upholds the tradition of which its basis has been set out since the olden days, making Tonga exceptional and Pacific in the world. So the Prime Minister, Akilisi Pohiva, has criticised this decision and said it is for the individual students and their parents to decide whether or not they should participate in a particular sport like rugby and boxing. So he says that the decision is not in line with his government policy and that it is the government's responsibilities to provide opportunities for all the students to participate in all sports. And our Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has actually weighed in as well and has expressed her disapproval over the ban. She says that New Zealand's aid support for sports in Tonga would not be threatened, but she disagreed with the directive and says that as a school student, she would play touch rugby and I would encourage all young women to engage in whatever sporting code they are interested in.
Yeah, so it sounds like there may be a back down on this soon enough. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, I mean, even from the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I can't imagine what else would happen, really.
Well, he's in trouble. So in Vanuatu, the editor of the Vanuatu Daily Post, Jane Joshua, has just been presented with a national award as leadership for a woman role model. And she's just been the editor for less than 2 months. What's her story?
Yeah, well, Jane Joshua, she's a pretty amazing young person. I met her a couple of years ago for a UN human rights workshop in Nandi, Fiji, and I was very impressed with her then. But she just got appointed as editor in February, but it's after an outstanding record that she actually had on the Vanuatu Daily Post for the last few years. She's had about 270 front page lead stories and so on, and she's investigated the prison conditions in Vanuatu and also broke a story about a commission of inquiry into a shipping disaster in 2015 involving the MGY ship, and as a disaster that led to deaths. And she got leaked document and presented a story that basically led to major reforms in the shipping industry in Vanuatu. And it's quite significant because in most countries in the Pacific, there is no freedom of information legislation, so it's very hard for journalists to get information. But she's certainly an incredible role model, and what she's done is won this Matasikili Award, which is awarded annually for leadership in women in Vanuatu. So it's tremendous for journalism, and it's also tremendous for women in the country.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean, she's broken some huge stories, but also, as you said about media freedom, she must work bloody hard to get those. Yeah.
Yes, well, as you know, it's a nice little side story to it too, that she supplanted the Mail, who was the editor of Vanuatu Daily Post for a number of years, and he got pushed aside as an associate editor now, and she's leading the way. Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, our next show won't be on Monday because we're all on holiday. So yeah, in a fortnight, we'll see you again. Thank you so much for coming in.
Cool, thanks for having
us.
Have a great week.
That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.